Welcome, everybody, to the Paparazzi Podcast. I am Jedi, he is Mark, and on today's podcast, I witnessed some savagery, Mark's week in pictures, Hot Weapon, and the Helena Hutchins tragedy, and more.
Much, much more.
Yeah. But first, as always, it wouldn't be the Paparazzi Podcast if we didn't start with a crack.
No, you'd be watching somebody else.
Exactly. So, mate, introduce me to your beer.
My beer is an Alesmith collaboration with Beechwood Brewing Company.
Ooh,
you know, Alesmith's my favorite, or one of my favorites. And this is the Tower of Flower beer.
I like the sound of that
one. They probably didn't appreciate the fact that I called it a beer. But yeah, it's a West Coast style IPA with Galaxy, Cashmere, and Nelson hops.
It's got Cashmere?
Cashmere.
So it's going to taste a bit woolly?
Yeah. Cashmere. Cashmere.
Incredible.
All right, hold on.
Shh. Oh. That was lame.
It's definitely not lame at this point, though. Ah. Very good. Tower of Flower.
There we go. So, my beer, I don't know whether I'm in for a trick or a treat with this one. It is a maple bacon pumpkin spiced red ale from O'Fallon Brewery in Missouri.
I don't see how that could be too bad.
I mean, it sounds fantastic. There's a pumpkin there with some maple syrup and a big old piece of bacon.
Okay.
So, let's see how it sounds, and I'll tell you how it tastes.
All right.
Decent crack.
I can smell
it. Oh, God, smell that.
I can smell it.
It smells like maple syrup.
Maple and bacon.
Oh, my mouth just literally started watering.
That's a breakfast beer right there.
I'm about to start drooling.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Man. And we're still not pouring each other the beer.
So holy shit.
It's exactly what it tastes like.
The maple syrup hits you. And as soon as that stops, the smokiness of the bacon comes right through.
You know,
oh my God, I could eat this beer.
You know, I like to put raw organic maple syrup in my coffee as a sweetener. That's what I do. I don't put sugar. I don't do anything else unless I have some sort of like a Trader Joe's, you know, cream that they have there, the coconut creamer that they have, something like that. But if I'm going like cream and sugar or something like that, I'll never do sugar or anything like that. I'll just do a little dab of organic raw maple syrup.
Incredible. Just like this beer.
Yeah.
Going to start off with something that I witnessed this week. I was absolutely horrified by it as well. I should have known better. I should have expected it. I was working Jennifer Garner, and I was there at the house, early doors.
Really?
Yep, early doors. And she never left. I was kind of expecting.
She's still at her old house. She's building a new house.
She's building a new house somewhere.
I think it's next door.
It's close by. So weighing at the house, and she eventually leaves at 3 o'clock, and goes to the school. No one else on it. Just myself and a wingman who was close by. And you know, she gets out. She walks up to the gate. We get a few frames. Think it's exclusive, nice and easy, and. It wasn't. There were a bunch of other cars there. They were waiting at the school for her.
Oh yeah, they don't follow her from the house.
Yeah, so I'm guessing, you know, these guys, you know, they start their day somewhere else. They get a bunch of other stuff, or if they have a slow day,
no, it's their first thing. First thing in the morning, they go and they get.
No,
back.
This is the picking up.
Oh, this is the pickup. No, that's exactly what happens. Yes.
Yeah, so they, you know, whether they had a good day or a bad day, they think, you know, we're going to end this with some Garner stuff. So there's cars just lined up and basically everyone blasting her through tin, which isn't that bad. I don't mind
really?
That.
Okay.
But then she goes to the Brentwood Country Mart with one of the kids as well.
Yeah. Always a little after school special. Yeah.
She pulls in and these three savages, and none of them, I've never seen any of them before.
Interesting.
Jump out of the car, just absolutely nail her and the kid. She goes in the Country Mart and they all go in there with her.
They went in.
All three of them go in.
What?
And... like myself and my wingman, we're just like mouths agape.
That's against
the rules. We couldn't
believe
it. Like,
Yeah.
Guys, come on, have some decency.
Yeah.
But they're in there for like 10, 15, 20 minutes. And we don't go in there. We're like, you know, what's the fucking point? We're not going to make a penny anyway.
I'm surprised they're in there that long. It's crazy.
They were just in there the whole time. She came out with them in front of her, just blasting all the way back to the car. Like, this is, it felt like it was, you know, 10 years ago when that kind of stuff was acceptable, but still really wasn't. Just, yeah, I couldn't believe it. And I will never work Jennifer Garner again.
Well, I feel bad for Jen, okay? Because she's been going through this for so long.
As soon as she...
She's like the only one that this is like this with.
Yeah.
You know? She doesn't give anybody any kind of reason for this. She barely acts in movies anymore.
Yeah.
She comes out with one every year, maybe. Something yeah. like that.
Yeah.
There's no reason why guys should be on this.
No.
What it is the people that are wanting to see this, that are buying the mags or looking at the pictures of her, that it's the clicks.
Yep.
The people that are so interested in what she's doing, it's their fault.
Yeah.
And the people that are still buying the pictures, yep. the clients that are buying
and
the
also,
pictures.
Also, like, the only reason she's kind of still relevant is because of Ben Affleck.
Because of Ben, but still.
Yeah.
It's just like, first of all, Daily Mail and all that. I mean, just stop buying the pictures for a while.
Yeah.
Just, why don't you give her like a 6-month break? Just everybody just get together and go, hey, you know, let's just not buy pictures of Jen for 6 months. Let's give her a fucking break.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because the guys will give up. The minute, you know, 2 weeks go by and no one's buying pictures of Jen, they'll just kind of like stop
Absolutely.
Going there for a
Absolutely.
Little bit.
Absolutely.
But I feel bad for her. And the whole Country Mart thing, I haven't entered the Country Mart ever. I did it one time just because it was some huge story. And it was, I think it was Jen Garner, actually. But it was some huge story with her, maybe the beginning of the divorce or something like that. And I just did it because, like, I wanted to go past the gate and just look back at the other paps and take a picture of all them,
yeah.
taking a picture behind the gate.
Yeah.
I wasn't even going in to get her. And they were all pissed that I went in there, and they were all yelling at me, like, he's still in there, he's still in there. And I just That's walked fine. Back out.
I think I've gone in there once for chicken nuggets.
Yeah, I've gone in there
yeah.
As a patron, you know, or you go walk through yeah. to see somebody who's in there,
yeah.
you know, because you always want to just pull up real quick. Walk through, see if someone's there, and then find their car and then wait for them out there. But you don't
yeah.
go in to the Country Mart.
No.
That's a rule
no.
for
and,
sure.
And we mentioned Ben Affleck a second ago. We actually did an interview, Mark and I, a week or so ago with a chap over at Vulture magazine. He asked us a bunch of questions on Affleck and J-Lo's relationship. So that was kind of fun as well. If any of you want to read what we had to say, just Google paparazzi... Ben Affleck, Vulture magazine, and you'll be able to read the little piece that we did with them.
Yeah, like Ben, he gives reasons for the paps to be there every day
yeah.
and shoot him every day. But Jen never gives anybody a reason
no.
for this. You know, she's still with the same guy, and you never see them together.
Yeah,
you never see them.
She's so discreet with all of that stuff.
She doesn't deserve.
Which is the complete opposite of what Ben is with J-Lo,
yeah.
which we spoke about.
Her and her family, like the kids,
yeah,
do not deserve the savagery that they get day in and day out.
No.
And I'm totally against it.
So that's pretty much
so you know.
All I've been up to. I've worked on bits and pieces, but nothing's panned out. I did get a set of pictures yesterday, but I'll talk about those next week as they are set to be published tomorrow.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great.
So what have you been up to, mate?
Good for you. Well, you know, I've got a few sets in the last, you know, week and a half. Guess we'll get right into it. The first set, I went to, had some information out in Mid-Wilshire area, and it's been shot before. It was Emmy Rossum
okay.
in the Angeline biopic
right.
that she's doing.
Wow.
She's been shot before. She, you know, I just wanted a piece of this, you know.
Yeah, that's a great framer.
Yeah, I was actually out there for another set, which we're going to get into after this, but I just noticed that they were filming. They were starting to film this scene nearby. I didn't even have the info on it.
Yeah.
And there was no base camp or anything. She was in the trailer right in front of a house. It's obviously a mansion, one of the mansions out there in Mid-Wilshire. And they had the trailer right out front. And if anybody knows the streets around Mid-Wilshire right there, Larchmont, Irving, mm-hmm. that area, It's hard to get anybody if the trailer's right out front of the house.
Yeah,
I mean, they're
course.
Just going to walk through the gate. They're going to walk right out to the trailer. So it was one of those situations where I had to listen on the radio I had to wait around the corner. And then when they would say she's going to the trailer, say she was going to go, you know, 10-1, or if she was going to go adjust something on her costume, something like that, I would have to pull around the corner, pull into a driveway of one of the houses.
Those driveways are massive as well, aren't they?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, and you just pull in there, and you just wait a second, and then you just blast it out one of the back windows or something as she walks around. And that's what I did right here. This shot actually was down the street on a 500 at the corner, because I saw an angle where she would actually walk across the people. But, you know, there could have been crew all over the place. I mean, you could see over here on the sides, there's crew members and stuff everywhere. It had to be this one spot. And I think she spotted me right here.
It looks like it. She looks great. It's, you know, it's always going to be a great picture on that movie set, as Angeline was such a... I don't even know.
Well, the prosthetic breast she has. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. So you cannot recognize her at all. I even asked my wife, because we're Emmy Rossum fans, you know, do you know who this is?
Yeah,
she couldn't figure out. But when you get these shots, it's like you want the straight on shot of the outfit she's wearing, stuff like that.
Of course.
But you want a side angle.
Absolutely.
And the reason you want the side angle is because of that right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you need to see, I mean, and I give it up to the hair and makeup crew. You know, the prosthetic crew that pull this off, because I don't even know how they do it.
I mean, it's got to be tough for her walking with those.
Yeah. Right? It's crazy. It's crazy. And honestly, like, when this thing comes out, it's going to be, you know, I hope that they're up for some sort of an award for at least the hair and makeup crew for what she's doing in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the movie I was there for was this new Miles Teller movie called The Offer.
Okay.
And I've been seeing some stuff on it lately, and it's all been night stuff downtown. It's a period thing, probably, I don't know, like 60s maybe.
Okay.
Something like that. Maybe, like 60s or 70s. And I couldn't get anything. All the stuff's been at night. It's been in like theaters, stuff like that. And even on this set, I was listening. Nothing was happening. I didn't think I was going to get anything. And then all of a sudden I look up on top of this event area that they're filming this at, and Miles comes out for a phone call on top. And and he's there just kind of, and I'm right across the street. I'm like the only car there. I'm kind of wide out in the open, and I have my window down a little bit. Miles Teller, I don't know how keen he is to Pats or anything like that, but he looked right at me a few times. Well, I don't know if he saw me, but.
If you're the only car there, and all tinted out with just a little window crack. Yeah.
Plus, the sun was coming in on me, too. The sun was, you know.
So he's just seeing, like, a big...
If you're keen to Paps, you would know that that was a Paps sitting there and stuff. Yeah. And he looked at me a couple of times, but, you know, nothing. He still took the phone call. He sat out there for about 10 minutes and did that.
Get your car wrapped with, like, the logo, Paparazzi Podcast logo.
Exactly.
And, if you see this car smile, you are being
It should just say smile on it. Exactly. But I stuck around a little bit, and, you know, they went to break. He came back. He got in another outfit.
I like that.
There he is. He's got his mask on, but I like him as an actor. He's good.
Yeah, he is. I think I've only ever seen him in, is it War Dogs or something like that? Dogs of War? One, is that him and Jonah Hill?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, it was. He's been in a bunch of other stuff, too. And there's a huge cast in this movie. So I was hoping that somebody else might have popped up, but, you know, I had to go with the old Hulkster, the only guy I could see, and I couldn't get a clean shot of him.
Oh, wow.
Lou Ferrigno.
He's in it as well.
Yeah. Incredible. Last time I shot Lou Ferrigno, I think I dropped a giant ball on him.
I mean, excuse me?
Yeah.
You dropped a big ball on him?
Yeah. We'll just leave it at that.
Okay, wow.
Okay. We'll post that on the Instagram, dropping the ball on Ferrigno.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. But same day, I'm on my way back to the West Side, and I'm passing by a hotel that I kind of know about, and, people stay there every once in a while, and I see the formation that I'm used to of seeing, like, dignitaries or, presidents, Donald Trump, when he would come to town, it would be the same kind of formation, which was Secret Service agents spread around the hotel. It's funny because, you know, these people, they want to be discreet. But when you've got these Secret Service agents around, they're so freaking obvious.
It's ridiculously obvious. It's so easy to spot the Secret Service.
They look like they're trying to blend. They look like they want to blend.
Yeah.
But they're not fucking blending.
They all drive Suburbans.
Yeah.
They all have the big aerial sticking out.
They don't all drive Suburbans, but they all drive that car.
Yeah.
It's just like it's either a sedan that looks like a police car. It's got a little antennas out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Another mid-size SUV. But, you know, the people that were in this were definitely, you know, they were driving the SUVs in that little motorcade.
They got the earpieces and most of these cars as well. I don't know if you've noticed it or worked many of the, well, you have, obviously. They're always out-of-state plates as well.
Well, these were U.S. government plates.
Oh, you know what I mean? You know that, yeah.
So, I mean, it wasn't like just the normal U.S. It was like U.S. government plates.
It's like, yeah, exactly.
But I didn't see those. I saw the SUVs and I saw the formation that was out there that they were waiting. So I pulled up real quick because I knew where I could just sit and wait and watch for a little bit.
Yeah.
And no more than 10 minutes, I see them move into a formation of like this person's about to arrive. And then both SUVs pull up together real fast. And they walk up to one of the doors and they open up the door for this person. And this woman gets out and I don't recognize her. Another woman gets out the other side of the SUV, but they don't open the door for her.
Mm-hmm.
They open up the back, they pull out some luggage, and they start walking towards, you know, like getting ready to walk towards the hotel. And I'm thinking, who is this? You know? Mm-hmm. But I noticed that Ashley Biden had been shot recently, just before this.
Okay.
But this girl didn't look like her at all. You know? And I'd just seen the Ashley Biden stuff. So I wasn't convinced it was her at all. So I actually had to reposition because I knew she was going to walk down towards the hotel. So I had to quickly move into a position. Traffic trying to block me every which way.
Is Ashley Hunter's wife, Hunter's daughter? What is she? She's the daughter,
she's
not Hunter, Joe.
She's Joe's daughter. Joe's, I think, daughter. The youngest daughter.
The president's daughter.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So I did get in a position and they did take a while so I could actually get them crossing the street right here. But I ended up shooting this girl and here she is. Walking across the street.
I mean, geez, if you asked me to tell you who that was, I'd say it's Kat Von D.
Yeah, right? I mean, she didn't even look familiar to me at all. I mean, it was just, I'm like, wow, who the hell is this? And so I'm thinking, geez, is this a mistress of like one of the like the vice president or something like that?
I wouldn't recognize her at all.
Not the vice president. That would be Kamala Harris.
Well, you never know. Maybe she could have a mistress.
That's true. So I'm thinking, what is this? You know, but. She's walking around out in front, and anyway, so I start sending it out, or just the pictures out to a couple different agencies just to find out if anybody sees anything.
Yeah.
And one agency comes back, the ultimate spotter at this agency. He's insane. He'll spot anything. He'll definitely nail it every single time. He will always answer the question of who is this person.
I like that.
And he's a fan of the show. So.
Good man.
Exactly. And so he points out her snake ring that she's got on her finger.
On her middle finger.
Yes. And yeah, it's on her middle finger.
Yeah.
And he basically is like, that's Ashley Biden. This is what she was wearing 2 days ago. I don't know of anybody else who really shares a ring like that with somebody else within 2 days.
Yeah.
So just give it to him. But still, I wasn't convinced it was Ashley Biden.
It's a nice ring. Clean as well.
Yeah. And I don't know if the pictures went anywhere. They didn't go anywhere initially.
How many days did it take them to figure it out? Or did they get it like right away? Did this chap saw who it was?
Well, the first agency I sent it to, they couldn't figure out who it was. And so this was the next day.
Okay.
And it's a hotel that other people would know. So I couldn't actually put it out right away. So it was like 2 days later. But she'd been shot 2 days before that.
Right.
I think twice. And the picture's made. So I'm hoping these pictures have gone somewhere or it actually was her, you know, but I mean, usually that ring or something like that gives it away. The earrings, the ring, something like that. It always gives it away. But that was that. And then I went to another set.
Jeez, you were
busy. A couple days later. Well, you know, I got to check sets. And this set, a huge set, it's called Your Place or Mine. It's a new Netflix show. Coming out, and it stars Reese Witherspoon, Ashton Kutcher, amongst others. And I noticed that Ashton Kutcher was in this show, he was there on this day.
Yeah.
I saw him get out of an SUV. I was kind of parked by the base camp because there was nothing to get at the set. We were shooting inside this apartment building, nice new, brand new apartment building downtown So I saw him get out of the SUV, and I was waiting for them to call him back. They went to lunch. Right. They said half hour lunch. So I got an angle on him just to see if he would come back. And he did come out, but it was definitely a Murphy block session on this one, because he came out and he walked. Wow. So first of all, I had to go manual focus on this.
Shooting through a fence.
Shooting through two fences. This security guy right here, I mean, he had to sit in the worst place he could sit.
Of course.
And this was the only angle, because, I mean, Ashton even had, if you could see it, he had blockers around his trailer. He had things set up, but there was one lane for him to walk out. But the security guard had to come and sit right there.
Wow. See, Kutcher's, he's pretty wise to it. He's not a fan of me or you.
Yeah.
I mean, this one time, remember, I spoke on it many moons ago. He posted a picture of my car on his Twitter, calling me a pedophile.
Yeah.
So he is not a fan of the show. And if he had any idea that you were there, he was going
to
make it hard.
Well, I mean, he probably gets out of his SUV. He goes and walks to his trailer and he looks around and he goes, there's an angle there.
Yeah.
There's an angle there. I want you to block this, you know. So I was even surprised there was an angle to get him walking back out to the thing. But with the manual focus, with that, it was just too late. I got this. And then he walked to the hair and makeup trailer. As he walked to the hair and makeup trailer, because I knew he was going to walk back again before he would walk to the SUV, the security guard ended up getting up and walking away and opening up the scene for me, right?
Yeah, sounds good.
So I'm like, cool. I'm going to get a nice clean shot of him walking back. Well, when he walked back, this is just after it, but he was walking around his trailer right there. The security guard walked past. As he was walking there, and I couldn't get the clean shot of him, and then this is what I got. Clean just after it, you know?
Unbelievable.
And then it was one more when he walked back to the SUV, and that was semi-clean, but that was all I got.
God. How long did you spend working that?
That was about 4 hours.
For nothing?
4 hours for nothing.
Yeah. Oh, mate, that hurts.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Yeah. And to be able to get this angle without Ashton even knowing, I mean, it would have been a good shot. Would have been fulfilling by me. Because it's outsmarting the Ashton Schmutcher.
He's a pain in the ass.
Then it was on to... Oh, then I got a phone call a couple mornings later. A phone call from a civilian.
A tipster.
Wow. My brother-in-law working down, in the South Bay area.
Yeah.
And... he said, you might want to come out and check out this parking lot down here because there's a bunch of SUVs and there's a big set. And, you know, sometimes when that happens, it's always like, oh, there's a big set down here. There's a big set. And you go there and it's like one trailer, one production truck. And you're like, this is not a big set. Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, but I ended up going down there, checking it out, because more times than not, when I get a tip from a civilian, it ends up to be good.
Oh, incredible.
It does.
Do you have to pay them a fee? A tipper's fee?
No, absolutely not. You know what my fee was? Thank you very much.
That works.
For that tip.
That works.
So I went down to check it out, and I quickly realized it was, you know, 70s, 60s, 70s. And one of the drivers of one of the old cars told me that it was the Watergate scandal. So... quickly Googled Watergate scandal. Oh yeah, that's Justin Theroux and Woody Harrelson's new show. And I've been seeing a couple of posts from them lately and a couple of pictures from set, which weren't the greatest or whatever, but this was bam, right in front of me.
Yeah.
I knew what they were going to be doing. I saw them setting up for the scene. I was going to get these, you know, good pictures of them coming out. We'll play a little video here for you of what the scene looked like. I noticed Woody right away, but I wasn't convinced that was Justin Theroux yet.
Dude, they look like fucking Dumb and Dumber.
They do, right?
Right?
They actually do.
In their
right.
suits from the scene in
the
Aspen.
The blue and orange suits.
Yeah.
That's funny. That's maybe we should call the episode instead. But yeah, so they came out. They're just having a good time. I'm straight across the street. They could easily see me. Nobody sees me.
Wow. Are you out of a car or in the car?
Out of the car. Couldn't even get close to the set. I had to walk up. I had to just stand in this doorway and just blast it from across the street. I'm blocked by a couple of cars here.
Yeah. It doesn't matter, though. Like, what they're wearing.
But it's clean. Yeah.
That stuff's fantastic.
Yeah. It's good. And then I get these shots. I'm stoked. I'm thinking, okay, all I need to do is get some video, which I did do later. I turn around. I start walking back to my car because I'm done.
Yeah.
And there's a Pat. No. Way back over my shoulder. He's on like a little 70-2 at like a 350 distance. And he's got a little video camera on top of his camera. And he's just going like this, just shooting. And I'm like, oh.
The full Savage setup.
I'm like, oh my gosh. Dude. So I was kind of bummed, but we can both give to the same agency. So I say, okay, let's do that. I'm like, do you give to any other agency? Because, you know, this seems like it could be gone through another agency because I know that this guy will get these out better. Yeah. No, I only give to this agency. So we put it through his agency and we let it ride. And I never saw the pictures anywhere. Woody Harrelson. Now, I know this movie was shot just before this.
Right.
It was like 2 days before. But it was kind of shitty shots, and they weren't really in costume. You could definitely see it was Justin.
Yeah.
You could definitely see it was Woody. They're like in disguise in this.
Yeah,
thing.
I don't know how this didn't make.
You know?
This is hilarious. Like I said, they look like the guys from Dumb and Dumber. They look ridiculous.
I mean, Thoreau's unrecognizable.
Yeah.
Woody is something, but Thoreau is unrecognizable.
You think, like, mags or websites would stick it up saying, like, who is this? Click, you'll never guess who. You know, it's that kind of picture.
Yeah.
If you asked me who that was, I would not have a fucking clue.
No.
But as soon as you say it's Thoreau, you're kind of, oh, fuck me. It is. Yeah. Unbelievable. It's a great set of pictures.
I shot these pictures. I've seen the video. I watched them the whole time. I still don't see him in there.
It's a great set of pictures. That's such a shame. But
and that's obviously a wig on Woody. He would take that off between takes, which I don't have pictures of, but check them out online. I'm sure they're somewhere for free.
Yeah. What a shame.
Somebody stole them. I guarantee somebody stole them.
Like, everybody should see these pictures. Shame on the agency that you gave it to.
Yeah, exactly. That's the way I feel. And there's another one, too.
Yeah, look, that's a great frame. Both smiling, laughing, looking absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. Loving it. They're having a great time on set. It's awesome. And it's good to see. You know, it's good to see. But then on to NCIS, which I've shot lately, but it never sells. The only time you're ever going to sell NCIS is if LL Cool J or Chris O'Donnell have their guns out and they're doing some sort of action scene. It's the only time it's ever going to happen. So I checked out this set. Usually I'm in and out of this set and I'm done. But this set, they were setting up for a good machine gun shooting out scene. And I had to stick around and get something.
Yeah.
So I stuck around. I got it. First of all, I had to go down this. This is a funny picture.
That's a great
picture. I had to go down and sit down this alley at a good 500 mil distance. But I had to tuck into the side of this thing. I'm not standing there. I'm in my car. I've got my window cracked a little bit. I'm kind of parked at a weird angle down there. They're not looking at me, but I mean, you could see right there that any of these people could have seen me down there looking at me. And it's just a little intimidating shot of the entire crew staring at me, but not seeing me.
Yeah, that's a good picture.
Yeah. But it's a scene where obviously some sort of criminal is waiting in this alley. LL Cool J sneaks up to him. And he, you know, says something to him, and the guy pulls out a machine gun, and they have a little shootout going, and then LL comes around the corner. Now, I got the shootout, but I didn't get the part where LL was shooting the gun. I wanted to shoot that.
Yeah.
And they didn't do two takes on it, which I thought they were going to do.
Oh, wow.
But I went with the pictures first because I wanted to get that muzzle flash with the cartridge flying out, that kind of, you know, shot right there. And at the angle that they were at, because I knew that he was setting up for the scene right here, the angle that they were going to be at, it was going to be right down my barrel, right? So I did get chewed out, and we'll talk about it in a minute. But this is LL, and I mean, he's pointing the gun at this guy. You know, normally they're talking about how, you know, you're supposed to point it a little. He's pointing it right at this guy. And that's a muzzle flash right there. He's pointing it right at the guy. And then boom, you know, he's shooting the guy. And the guy's like keeling over into the car as he shoots him, you know. And then LL walks up and gets like some sort of detonator from him. Anyway.
It's a good set.
Yeah. So I got that set and then moved on. And that was pretty much it for the week. And Miles Teller, didn't see anywhere. LL Cool J, didn't see anywhere. Justin Theroux and Woody, didn't see anywhere.
Yeah.
And what was the other one? Oh, yeah. Angeline, I did see that go.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So this
seems like a waste of
this LL Cool J set. It became topical 2 days after you shot it, right?
Yes, very topical.
Thursday just gone. I got a phone call from one of the English newspapers. Jedi, can you get on a plane and head to New Mexico? Head to Santa Fe. And normally I'd jump at this chance to go and do an out of town job, but it, you know, the next day was my wife and it was our 10-year wedding anniversary. Oh, so I couldn't.
Anniversary.
Thank you very much. So I couldn't go. And I said to them, I said, sorry, I can't go. Wedding anniversary. What's the job? And they said, you haven't seen it yet? You haven't seen? You don't know what's going on? No, I haven't. I haven't looked at the mail. I haven't looked at the sun. I haven't looked at anything online since I got home.
Good for you, by the way.
Yeah. And they go, okay, Jedi, Alec Baldwin has shot and killed somebody on the set of his latest movie, Rust.
Wow.
And, you know, my mouth was wide open. I couldn't believe it. This would be, you know, a great job to go and work on. But like I said, I couldn't go. But this makes, you know, like what you just spoke about, topical. It makes your pictures newsworthy. But yeah, you know, Baldwin shot and killed a cinematographer by the name of Helena Hutchins. Just absolutely unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. And this kind of stuff shouldn't happen on movie sets. And you're around movie sets and obviously the, you know, ones with weapons and shooting all the time. What do you think the difference was from this one and, you know, like the cool, the LL set you were on 2 days prior?
Well, it's good that we always do this podcast a few days after all these things happen, because we get to hear all the angles, we get to hear the story progress a little bit, and then we get to talk about what we think, you know, happened on this and what we know happened on this set and stuff. And
yeah.
So from the day it happened till today, there's obviously been a million things that have been, you know, coming up and talked about, and, you know, investigations and so on. And initially I was thinking to myself, how is it possible that a live round got into a gun on set? Because when I'm on set and I see them bring in live rounds or live guns or hot weapons or cold weapons or whatever it is, I mean, I'm listening on the radio. So I'm not only hearing what, you know, what I hear just live in front of me or something like that. I'm hearing what they're talking about beforehand. I'm hearing what they're talking about during things happening, you know, while things are happening. And what normally happens on movie sets is they have a safety meeting.
Right.
They say,
are you hearing all of this?
Yeah,
as well?
I'm hearing the safety meeting and they'll bring everybody in and they'll talk to everybody, but then they'll also be talking on the radio. So I'll hear the whole safety meeting. Normally I'm like, oh, safety meeting. I'm going to turn down the volume for 10 minutes. I don't hear the same shit over again. But when they're actually talking about weapons, I always listen.
Yeah.
I always want to hear what the protocols are that they're doing, because they're all a little different. You know, they're all the same, but they're all a little different because they're different people. But it's always the same thing. It's always, okay, here we go. We're going to have a live weapon on the thing. Here's the weapon right here. We're going to do this scene and this scene and this scene. The weapons are going to be here. The weapons are going to be there. You know, when there's a live weapon on or a hot weapon on set, everybody prepare, everybody put your earpieces in, everybody put your ear protection, blah, 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 right? And they prepare for it. And there's three or four hands that it goes through before it gets to the actor.
Right.
And normally I've seen the actors themselves even come, they take the weapon, they'll pull the magazine out, they'll look down the barrel, they'll look at things and they check it themselves.
Yeah.
So, but a live round, I don't see how it could ever get even close to set, because they're always blanks. There's always some. How could it even come close to being on set?
I read today that hours before the scene, the fatal scene that Baldwin was a part of, that members of the crew were using that weapon for target practice, shooting cans and bottles.
Yeah. Gigantic no-no. Like just the ultimate no-no. So
but then also that wouldn't happen in Hollywood because there's ever like there's stuff around you.
You couldn't just go like if you were just some PA,
yeah,
and just some peon on the set, you know that, you know, or anything less than like an AD,
yeah,
or an AP or a director of photography or something like that. Anything less than that, you're not going and just walking up and grabbing a gun and going, "Hey guys, let's go shoot this thing over here," you know.
Yeah, but also,
and then putting live rounds in. Where are you going to get the live rounds?
Well, and where are you going to shoot it in LA anyway? There's people everywhere.
Well, and buildings everywhere. And where are you going to shoot it out there?
Well, in New Mexico, there was nothing around. They're literally just in.
But if you're going to go, but if you're going to go take it somewhere, because we don't know who this was that went to go shoot it, right?
Yeah.
If you're going to go take it somewhere and go target shooting, it's a 44. It's a Colt 44 or something along those lines. That thing, you can hear that thing from a long ways away. So I don't know where you're going to shoot that, but someone had to have heard it. Someone had to have known what's going on. Doesn't matter. But let's say somebody went, took the weapon, went and shot something. They came back. They left a live round in the weapon, and they put it back to where they were. No on all those guys that went and did that. They're all accused of murder now. Or manslaughter or whatever it is, all of them are to blame. And then when the gun got back, the armorer is supposed to look at the gun, open it up, and go, "What the hell is a live round doing in here, you stupid dumb fucks?"
Well, that's
you're all fired now. Yeah. You're all fired. Fucking, you know, you're lucky nothing happened. She didn't do that. It still got through her.
She's 22, 24, and this is her second job.
But her dad did it. You know what I mean? Her dad was an armorer before that.
Yeah, so, but then she was on a podcast last month saying how nervous she was.
Yeah, and I'm sure she's going through the rounds. I'm sure every armorer goes through the same motions of all this stuff. She definitely missed it. She didn't check it. The AD who went and grabbed the gun to give it to Baldwin didn't check it.
Yeah.
And then Baldwin didn't check it.
I mean, it's negligence by so many people on so many levels.
So many people.
There's going to be, you know, a huge lawsuit, a civil lawsuit, all sorts of lawsuits about this. And again, today, the details of the insurance policy came out, the movie set's insurance policy. It's, I think it was $1 million. And then there's an umbrella policy in that as well, which adds another $5 million to it. But they're going to be paying a lot more than that, surely.
Yeah, man. I mean, here's the set, and I heard it was in the church.
Yeah,
that was happening. I did see that a guy posted a picture today, which I don't have on here. But a guy posted the last shot of her. I guess he was working on a set, and it's the scene inside that. So you get that kind of chilling feeling of how that looks. Yeah. Plus, they were talking about what I was talking about earlier with LL. How they were saying how nobody points the gun at the camera. No one points the gun at somebody. They always point it off to the side, so no one's being shot at. And I guess that was done because of Brandon Lee.
Yeah.
Because the blank came out of the gun and still hit him and killed him. So that's why they never do that. But I mean, on that LL Cool J thing, dude, he was pointing that. I mean, I had the angle, you know.
Yeah.
There's no way he wasn't pointing that gun at that guy. You know, so I don't know what they're talking about, but the whole hot weapon thing, you know, they were talking about hot weapons and cold weapons on this set, the Rust set, you know, and you can hear on my video here. Let me bring it up. Okay. Oh wait, there's a quick picture of Baldwin. Forgot about that one. I don't know how that got in there. There's Baldwin being angry to Pat. Okay. So let's listen to this real quick. Cause this is what they say when there's a weapon on set. Now this is the gun that they gave to the criminal in this NCIS set. Okay, it had blanks in it. It was definitely firing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hot weapon on set.
Hot weapon on set. Okay. So, in the Rust case, Baldwin was saying, "Why did you hand me a hot weapon?" Well, they're handing this guy a hot weapon, but this is filled with blanks.
Yeah.
So I don't see how a hot weapon relates to a weapon with a live round in it. There's never a live round.
No, there shouldn't be. Absolutely.
In anything. Okay. There's never a live round in there. So, you know, them saying a cold weapon, a hot weapon, it sounds weird because I only know of a hot weapon as a weapon that's firing.
Yeah.
A cold weapon is a weapon that's not going to fire anything. Right. There's no hot weapon with a live round in it.
No.
Live rounds should never be even anywhere close to anything on a set, ever. So that seemed a little weird to me. in this whole thing.
Yeah, I don't get that.
But all in all, it's going to be interesting to see what comes out of her. A lot of conspiracy theories.
Yeah,
I've heard theories that Baldwin had a problem with this girl. That because remember, just before this, a couple days before this, the crew was like walking out because of they were saying lack of safety, they were saying lack of accommodations, lack of money.
Yeah, that the whole thing was just done on the cheap. And, you know, Baldwin's an EP on this as well.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's why it's all going to fall back on him no matter what. Everything's going to fall. Because him shooting that gun, whatever, as an actor, okay, he's out of the woods right there. But he's also the person that brought everybody on this thing.
Yeah.
And approved everybody to be on this. So it's going to be interesting to see the legal ramifications that he faces on that. So the crew was walking out from conditions because they were just roused up from that strike that they were going on.
Yeah.
Right. And this movie had just started and it was just going during that strike. So these guys were fresh in there going, okay, we're not going to be working for the end of these conditions. This is shitty. There's no budget here. What the fuck? And then they had to bring in replacements. And that's what they were saying. The replacements were the people that were negligent. As far as the other people, maybe they're the ones who took the gun to go shooting or something like that. But
we've not heard the end of this story.
Anyway, no, that's no, sure. Definitely. And the rookie, I did read that the rookie is going to be a show that's going to ban the use of real weapons on set.
I saw that today as well. They're going to start using airsoft. So I don't know the difference between like. What are airsoft guns? Are they just like replicas that just fire kind of like
the little pellets,
right?
But still, though, why would you even shoot those?
Yeah,
I don't know. You could use real weapons. I don't understand why they're not using real weapons. Just don't fire them.
Well, can you not just CGI that stuff?
No, that's what they're saying. They're going to CGI all the muzzle flashes and the sound.
Yeah,
but they're saying they're not going to use the real weapons because they could be it could something like this could happen again. But okay, but. You know, come on, let's not sacrifice our movies and the realness, like, you know, how good the movies could be, you know, like,
yeah.
Okay, I'm going to watch The Rookie and I'm going to see them with noticeable airsoft guns.
Yeah.
That's going to be weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Interesting.
But along the same story of bad conditions, Ruby Rose came out this week as well, just before this. And I feel a little bit bad for her because she, you know, her story just got kind of put under the rug because of this whole Alec Baldwin thing.
She was Batwoman, right?
Yeah.
Or she was cast in some kind of DC.
DC Batwoman show. I watched the first two episodes of it because, you know, I like the comic book stuff.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
Ah.
It was pretty much the worst comic book show I've ever seen, ever.
Wow.
It had so many undertones and preaching wokeness.
It was
so bad, and it had the potential to be so good.
Yeah,
you know?
What a shame.
I couldn't stand it.
So has she walked off the show then? She's left it?
I think she got fired
from
the show. Or she walked off and they're saying she got fired. Whatever, but she was claiming bad conditions. She was claiming the producers or whatever, the other actors were harassing her and all this stuff. And, you know, being someone who sees these, you know, the main stars of these shows, they're not being harassed.
No.
You know, if you're the main, it's one thing if you're like if you're kind of a newcomer to the show, or, you know, you're someone who's trying to come up in the business and you're doing these little parts or here or there and you're wearing some sort of hot little outfits. Cause you know, I mean, Batwoman, you never know.
Yeah.
And they're kind of, I could see them coming up with harassment things because if you're the main star of the show, you're in the biggest woke, industry in the entire world. There is no one that's going to overstep you, you know, and she's Ruby Rose. I mean, she's a hardcore chick, you know, there's no one that's going to overstep with her. So the fact that she's saying that they did, I don't know if I believe it so much, but there are a couple of rumors coming from that show that it was just kind of shitty conditions as well, just like Baltimore.
Well, and a shit show.
And a shit show. Yeah. So they have that going for them too. And then there was the whole strike.
I mean, it seems like every single year there's a writer's strike.
Yeah, I mean, these are the crew guys, you know. I stand with the crew guys on this whole thing.
So they were kicking off about just shitty conditions, being paid peanuts.
Yeah, overworked.
Yeah, which they
hardly
are.
Hardly any break. They are. I mean,
and they are paid peanuts. Like, the actors seem to just be getting paid more and more and more every single year.
Well, this is what I don't
get. And the writers are being paid a fucking pittance.
Yeah, and this is what I don't get. I get how the actors, okay, they're getting paid tons more money.
Millions.
Than anybody on set, especially on the big movies, right? That, like, the Ruby Rose, I mean, she's making just as much as probably as the producer or the, you know, the ADs maybe or something like that, maybe a little bit more, but they're making tons more money than them, right? When you're on set, how about just treating everybody the same?
Right.
The pay grade might be different.
Yeah.
But once you're on that set, you know?
Yeah, the show doesn't get made without these people.
Exactly. There's no demands. I mean, we're not talking about giving the crew their own trailers, you know, all around and stuff like that. But when you're on set, you know, the crew gets to do whatever they want. They get to go to just as long of a lunch as Eric Stone Street.
Right.
Hour, you know, or whatever, hour 15 minutes. And then they come back. They don't get 30 minutes, boom, last, because they call it last man. Last man starts 30 minutes from right there. And then they're right back on, you know, to the minute. They go, everybody back on. You're back on right now, you know. Wow. And they do kind of, you know, move back and stuff like that. But then the actors will be on an hour later. Yes, they have to go through hair and makeup and go whatever, touch ups and stuff like that. But the vibe of, you know, Sofia Vergara and Eric Stone Street being on set and then the crew is totally different than, like, you know, someone like who am I thinking of? You know, someone's a little cooler to be on set with, you know, like an LL Cool J. That guy's out there with his crew all the time. He is not a diva. Yeah. He is not making the crew wait. You know, he's out there with them all the time, doing what he needs to do and talking with them. Always, always talking with everybody. I'm sure he knows everybody on set's name.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the way it should be. And then the rest. I just had this picture right here, which is kind of funny. It's all the network people getting together, trying to figure out their deal. You know.
That's funny.
Which one would you want to be? If you were one of these execs, who would you want to be the head of?
What's that underneath your face? That's Amazon.
Yeah.
Probably Amazon, as they just have a unlimited fund of money, or Bezos does anyway.
Yeah. I think I'm on the same lines as you.
Yeah.
Because of what is next in the news.
Yeah.
That I want to talk about.
Yeah, and we'll end with this as well.
Yes, definitely. Is Jeff Bezos's new yacht that just we'll never get to ride on.
Just a small little one-man dinghy, right?
Yeah, so 420 mil euro.
Pounds.
Yeah. I think it equivalents to...
That's like $700 million.
I think it's 520. 40 or 574 million is what it said.
The exchange rate has changed a lot since I last looked.
So $574 million, dude, for a yacht. He already has a $400 million yacht,
by the way. He already has a fucking space rocket.
Yeah, his cock rocket.
Yeah. What's this guy trying to make up for?
We all know what he's trying to make up for, man. You know? I mean, look at those three masts on that thing. Just the masts on those things are like 50 million apiece or something. That's what they said.
Unbelievable.
But this is what I don't get, Jedi, okay? Look at this thing. Look at this thing. I'm going to bring it up full screen. Look at that thing.
That's ridiculous. It's ginormous.
So answer me this, Jedi. Who
needs a boat that big?
Well, I get it. If you think the world's going to end in a couple of years, or you know something we all don't,
you're going to be
stuck in the ocean forever. You know, you're going to want this thing. I get it. If you're Bezos, you know, okay, whatever. But this is what I don't understand. Why we're standing for this is this guy's spending more than $500 million on a boat so he can go cruise around, right? Okay, it doesn't stop with the $574 billion, or million dollars, okay? It doesn't stop with that. Okay? You buy this thing. They put it out in the ocean.
Like, what is think the about, running cost
of Think that? About the running cost of yeah. this thing. Okay? The staff it takes. The fuel it takes.
Probably $1 million a week, right?
It's a sailing ship. Dude.
Yeah.
The fuel it takes. The upkeep it takes. Because if anybody knows anything, a boat's the worst investment you can have. Because it constantly depreciates.
Yeah, that's $1 million a week, easy.
Easily $1 million a week. I was going to say $10 million a week.
Yeah.
You know? So, not only that, let's just say this is $1 billion a year that this thing is just going to take to just be out there in the ocean.
Wow.
And this guy could be feeding an entire continent of people.
Well, do you know what I read today?
What the fuck, man? Why are we standing for this?
There are families, literally this week, families in Afghanistan are selling their children so that the rest of their family can eat.
Wow.
And this guy's spending $500 million.
Imagine having the choice of we either die, like the family dies, or we sell our children to the Taliban. I'm sure it's the women. And it's probably the boys too, because then they become the soldiers, right?
It's a baby.
Yeah. Selling the children so that the rest of the family can survive. Imagine that choice. And then you go on the news or you go on the internet and you look at this guy and his freaking yacht, right?
I mean, it's going to be a nice boat, though.
It is going to be a nice boat.
But yeah.
It is going to be a nice boat, but it makes me sick.
Me too, mate. Me too.
It does make me sick. And Bezos, seriously, fucking shame on you, bro.
And stop. Every year as well, he adds another $20 to the Amazon Prime.
Seriously. What, why? So you can...
We've just built his boat for him. Yeah.
You know what this is? I know what this is, Jedi. It's a cock pump. Just every year, he has to buy something. It's a $500 million cock pump.
Just Bezos with his little...
Because he's got a little...
He's got a teeny peeny.
He's got a little teeny peeny, and he needs to pump it up every year so that everybody can see what he does. Right?
He's got a rocket. He's got a $500 million boat. What's next?
I don't know, but it's making me sick, and it makes me not want to watch movies on Amazon Prime, and it makes me not want to buy packages, even though we're still going to. I mean, we're never going to not.
But I bought two things on Amazon today.
Everybody needs to kind of put in perspective. Anyway, I think that's enough complaining. What do you think?
I think so. I think that was a good podcast.
Yeah, I do too. I'd like to apologize to anybody that we've offended on this podcast, especially if it offends anybody involved in the set shooting of The Rust.
Yeah, and condolences to Helena Hutchins' son and husband and the rest of our family.
Yeah, because if anybody knows us, we have the utmost respect for all the crew members on any show, especially the ones that are in danger.
Unless they're trying to block us.
I still have the respect for those guys because they're just doing a job. You know, I get it. But they could just ease up a little bit because they know that we're just there to help.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think, turn off Bezos' boat, please.
Yeah. God damn it.
Anyway, well, I'm Mark and this is Jedi and we are Hollywood Unfiltered, as you can see right there.
Yes, everybody. So, like us, subscribe to us, follow us, watch us, listen to us, tell your friends about us. Take care, be well, stay safe. God bless.
He's got a little teeny peeny, and he needs to pump it up every year.